We'd like to welcome each and every individual to Legacy Partners and how to be the best student in the world and everything. Hi, my name is Mark Boersma, president of Synergy Solutions, and Alan Stein is writing an amazing book that's changing the lives of people, you know, literally all over the world. I mean, it's just amazing. If you have any questions on anything that we cover today, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. There will be a special gift offer at the end of today's session, so you'll want to stick around for that for sure. Let's go ahead and dive right in. Alan, what would we like to accomplish today?
Well, I'd like to talk a little bit more about trust. This past chapter that I produced was about trust. And, you know, the more I wrote and the more I thought about it, the deeper and deeper I saw that this subject was. And the more important I think that the understanding of trust is. So we have Tim on the phone, Tim Langenberg from the West Coast. And so... So I was talking to Tim yesterday, and I said, Tim, you know, I think it'd be a great thing if you were to, you know, join this call, and not just for the part about the book, but from the very, very beginning, you know, starting at what would be 5:30 West Coast time, and stay to the absolute bitter end, no matter what. And I said to Tim, I said, you know, Tim, even if you made this commitment, you know, one thing I have to warn you about is that you're going to get into this and there's going to come a point where, you know, you're not going to want to do it. You're not going to want to follow through. You know, other stuff that's going to seem really important is going to come up, and, you know, or there's something you're not going to like about it, or something's going to happen, and your resolve and your commitment is going to be tested. And that's the point where you have to remember your commitment, and you have to hold fast to your commitment, otherwise you'll lose everything. And you won't gain what you are potentially able to gain. And I said, and you got to do this for 6 months. And so Tim said, okay. Why? Because I trust you, Alan. I trust you. And I thought, wow, that is amazing to have somebody take on a commitment like that just based on, you know, their trust of somebody or something. And I thought, you know, that's really a model for the rest of us about trusting what could potentially make a huge impact in your life. So, you know, I want to thank you for that inspiration, Tim. You know, and I'm also thinking about Jennifer and how she's jumping in and how much she trusts the system. But then on the other hand, I have questions. You know, we're talking last segment about teenagers or kids, and I'm thinking, you know, so what does it take for a teenager who thinks that they know when maybe they don't know, or maybe they think they don't know when they really do know something? You know, how can you help them to trust that their parents might actually know more than they do, or see things that they might not see, and that they need to really pay attention? So that's all the stuff that's going through my head, and I love some feedback from some others.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious, Tim, how did you go ahead and, you know, jump in and commit to what you did? Like, how were you able to do that, one? And two, how do you have any suggestions on how to help other people do what you did seemingly pretty fast, really easy? Any ideas on that, Tim?
Let me correct that. It wasn't really easy. The flesh is willing, or the spirit is willing, I guess I should say, and even the flesh yesterday, right now, I'm not so sure about that, but I'm committed because, and the reason I can do it relatively easily is that we've done some life together. We've done enough life together, for me to be able to place my trust in Alan and by extension to Nancy and the rest of the group. And I wouldn't be doing this remotely if this were, you know, just an instance where someone had contacted me and said, "Will you, you know, join our group and check it out?" There's no way that I could make that kind of commitment. But I can do that based on having come to know someone in real circumstances and seeing who they really are. I mean, I understand that we're all flawless. It's not that I'm, you know, placing something on them, a mantle that would be too heavy for them to carry, but I at the same time see that there are things about them that I've come to really know and love and appreciate enough that if they say, "Well, you do this," I can say, "Sure, I can do that." Because
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, Alan really expressed that this was something that he thought would be life-changing. I'm certainly needing some changes in my life, so I'm open to that, and I don't want to close doors that could be part of the solution.
So, is anyone thinking what I'm thinking on what we'd like to hear from Alan and Nancy?
The relationship over the years and what there were key issues, key things that built that trust. What were those?
Mm-hmm. Are you asking me that question, or
yes?
Are you just posing that? Well, I think that predominantly that we've really been able to share some deeply personal things. And it's really interesting that even happened. That's not something that I just do with anybody. And it happened very early in our relationship where I just felt, frankly, inspired to say, you know what, this is who I really am. And this is what's going on. Let's cut through the pretense and work toward a real relationship. I think we can all relate, being in business, as most of us probably are, that it's really easy to have sort of a false persona that you put out there, and particularly in the sales environment. And this was an instance where I just sensed there was something too valuable at stake, and I wanted to say, actually, this is who I really am. And that generated a response back. And so it drew us, I think, very close together, and I'm just really thankful for that. And it's not that always works. You know, it has uniquely in this instance. There are times I've shared and been very hurt. That's very often human nature, unfortunately. But this is an instance where I think we're growing together, and a lot of that, I think, is driven by just a much deeper level of honesty than frankly what I find in my other relationships, or at least many of them.
So, Tim, I'm also curious about, like you shared the first time we had a phone conversation, I mean, you shared a whole ton of stuff with me. Do you do that normally with people?
No, I don't. I think it was probably the introduction through which I met you. So it's almost as if that sets momentum that allows me in turn to be more honest with people that I can kind of tangentially trust, because I've come to trust a person and trust that they have my best interest at heart, that therefore I have to in turn trust within reason. I mean, it's not just a blanket trust to anybody else, because again, we're all fallible. We're all subject to error. But I had reason to expect, given the importance that they placed on you and what they were learning and working together through you, that I could could trust that to the extent where I could be open. And I think you were with me, and so I'm glad we had that opportunity. And I think if nothing else, it allows us to sort of cut through a lot of things, and I can ask direct questions and determine, is this something that I really want to do? Is it connected to this or that? And we can dispense with wrong ideas and focus on those things that we know to be true and right.
Cool. Alan, Nancy, thoughts?
Well, I think Tim's got like this childlike open-heartedness about him that I love, and I think makes it possible to have the kind of relationship that he's talking about. And Kevin, by the way, this is not a relationship that goes back years. I think it's less than a year since we came out and visited you and Sharon, right, Tim?
That's right. Well, it's just over a year now, but yeah, it's a very, very short time indeed. It was rather remarkable in that respect, because that's not something that routinely happens with me, for sure.
Kevin, does that help you, or additional follow-up questions?
It does help. I wrote those down. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Alan. And, you know, it goes back to what I remember you said on one of these other calls, where you said that sometimes people in groups say it's hard to get deep relationships. It usually takes 2 to 3 years for something like that to happen in a group. And I know you gave a specific example of a men's group at a church, but I think by extension it can really apply to any group. And there was a couple key things that I got, and I really appreciate this, is I want to make sure I got this right, is that Tim, you trusted very deeply early on in your relationship. You presented, this is who I am, which cut through the pretense and avoided any false persona, because you sensed that it was too important not to share deeply, which generated a positive response. Not always, but in this instance it happened, and it was a much deeper level of honesty because you've been hurt before, which is there's risk. And by trusting a person, which is Alan, then you can trust in a reasonable level in others that they're associated with by extension. And you said, I can trust to the level they are open, and I can ask questions and see, you know, what's really going on, and then dispense with wrong ideas and focus on what's important. And then, Alan, you jumped in and you said, Tim has a childlike open-heartedness that I really, really like. And it's not been a long time. It's just been over a year that this has happened. So things can happen very quickly. It's hard, because I know sometimes when people meet Mark, Mark can go deep, like to a level 50, like in seconds with people, if they're willing to do that. Most people aren't, but if they are, they'll have healing and a lot of pain. And that's the thing that most people have a hard time with. I know I do it, but I'm interested to see in why you were willing to trust at that level, and were you anticipating that there, I know, and by the way, Alan, that was an amazing setup, an amazing introduction into a conversation of what we do here. I mean, that was perfect. That was quintessential. I mean, we have to warn people, you know, you're going to have times when you're just not going to want to do stuff. And other things are going to seem important, but you're not going to have the breakthroughs. You're not going to get to the next dimensions. You're going to get right to the edge, and then you're going to drop off. And how many times does that happen, and how painful is that to watch? When somebody does that. But I want to thank you, first of all, Tim, for doing that. And secondly, Alan and Nancy, I really want to thank you for nurturing that and being honest with them. So writing a chapter on trust, you're trustworthy and able to get to a very deep level very quickly. We can all learn from that and transform relationships.
It's interesting to me that in this conversation already, two words seem to be connected for me and keep coming up. You know, the one is trust, which is sort of, you know, what we're talking about right out in front of us. But behind that someplace that keeps coming up is pain and painfulness. And I'm wondering about the connection between those two.
That's really cool. Zaire, Abigail, Danny, Trevor, the moms or dads of any of those kids, any feedback that you would give from your children and kind of the conversation and the chapter and their contributions?
Oh, I know with Daniel, one thing we were discussing this morning, we were trying to get him to focus on draw pictures for Mr. Allen. And so, but we were talking about how he trusts and how it's different and stuff. And it's children, they kind of go on and they just trust you naturally. Like yesterday, we had strangers that were talking to us across the street, and my son will talk their ear off as if they're, you know, his best friend. He just trusts that they're safe because they're talking to us. And, yeah, I mean, he lately was even jumping off things in the house and playing, you know, catch me, mommy, and he automatically trusts on a daily basis. So it's the challenge I have is trying to make sure I don't, like Alan mentioned in his thing, that how to not, like, train them out of that trust, because a natural trust is actually a good thing in some aspects, but at the same time, I mean, you don't want them randomly walking off with strangers. That's how kidnapping happens. And so trying to train them that there's, you know, it's hard as a mom having to train a child that the world is not completely safe, because that's what they automatically come into the world believing. And so how to train that, you know, without destroying their natural ability to trust. And, you know, I guess that's kind of how I was working with this week, struggling with this week.
So there's been a lot of work on that in the last 6 months. So as an international speaker and author, what you do is you learn how to build trust of the masses. So my 15-year-old son, Tim, you know, he wrote a book, The Art of Seduction of the Masses. And I learned so much in being part of that project. So much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like... 17-year-old son, he's starting to get geared up, The Art of Manipulation. And so it's like, if I don't want my family and loved ones to be seduced by big everything, big government, big education, big media, big labor, big business, big everything, I need to teach them how the seduction works. And trust that with them having those skills that they will not misuse seduction and manipulation to bring harm to people. So my mind is racing. Jill or Elise, any thoughts that you have from your children?
Well, some thoughts that I'm having is, you know, like Alan had mentioned, relating trust to pain, and how that might play into it. So, you know, based on life experience and how we might trust someone based on our experience with them. One of the questions that's kind of going through my head right now is, even before that pain, some people tend would show to be very trusting of others, while others do not. There might be some reserve in there. So one of the things going through my head is, does trust in ourselves relate to trust in other people? Like, if we trust ourselves, do we tend to trust others outside of ourselves, and kind of how that might play into everything?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's awesome. I don't think we can trust other people more than we trust ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree, yeah.
And I think that one of the, this is from a father of four daughters, I just cringe when often, not always, but, you know, women or amiable men tell my daughters to trust their hearts. That's a dangerous, that's a very dangerous thing to do. There's a lot of trouble, a lot of pain that my girls have invoked on themselves and their father because they trusted their heart. And trusting our senses, is also very deceptive because we often trust people we shouldn't and don't trust people we should. It's just strange. And the mortgage industry, I used to own a mortgage company, and predatory lending is mostly nationality on nationality. It's blacks, being predators of other blacks, Hispanic on Hispanic, white on white, female on female, male on male. And so we tend to trust other people. We are most vulnerable probably to the people who are most like us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not taught anywhere, it seems. Elise, thoughts you have?
Well, I think what's really just amazed me about this process and watching Abigail is her ability to trust. And when something in what would be our perception of hurt or something bad happens to her out of that trust, it doesn't destroy her trust. She just goes right back to that situation again to see if she can change the outcome. And I think most often adults, our trust gets destroyed, and it's a really long process to build our trust back up if it's an individual or if it's a situation, then we say, well, I'm just not putting myself in that situation again. So just interesting to see how kids approach that.
Nice. So, we talk often in theory, but we don't actually see it in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And so in real life, so I have an opportunity in 7 minutes, in the next 7 minutes, I have an opportunity to really test this thing to the hilt, to the extreme. So do I, don't I? Nancy, what are you thinking right now?
Something that you said, Mark, when you said that we are the most vulnerable to the people like us, that they can be predators, that really struck me hard. Because we always say we're attracted to people that are like us. I'm thinking about in the sales role, I'm thinking about employees that we hire. For years, we hired people that were like us, and that wasn't the best
mm-hmm.
thing. So I'm just trying to sort through that. I see how I do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
anybody? Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to jump in for a second. So I'm scared to death of what's probably coming in 5 minutes, because I understand that one small mistake can lead to the ruin of a life, and that's too much for me.
Right. And when you say in 5 minutes, why do you say 5 minutes?
Because it's 2 minutes after the 7 minutes.
So there's a I wasn't sure what Alan was referring to. And so the next segment, see what Alan and I are doing is we're dancing together. And so we are seeking like crazy to seduce all of you to stay for the next segment. I learned when I went out to Atlanta every month for, 6 months or whatever, to do TV. One of the things they teach you in doing TV is sell the next segment. So I was thinking that I would have 7 minutes. I could go ahead and share what I'm going to share, you know, in 7 minutes. But, you know, Nancy brings up a great point, and so I'm like, okay, yeah, that's not going to happen in 7 minutes. But I could go ahead and sell the next segment and say, okay, because Alan said, hey, he's scared, you know, of what would happen in what I had referred to. So the next segment is discovering my action vision. Mm-hmm. And so what is our life vision? What were we put on this planet to do? And then what actions? So what is my life vision? And what actions do I need to take to achieve that life vision? Like, I think somebody's life vision is a gift from God. Now, with the thing happening at Tanglewood, I get all nervous. I'm like, great. Is somebody going to just read this and say it's a faith-based? It's like, this is life-based. I mean, you know, I mean, but anyways, so I believe personally it's a gift from God, but it's a gift. It's a conditional gift. We have to do something. We're not trees. I mean, you plant a seed and it just happens. We're not that. And so we have to do something to go ahead and achieve our life vision. It's not going to be given to us. I can assure you, in my experience in doing this for almost 3 decades now, big is never going to help you achieve your life vision. Not help you. They might have some role in it, but it's not. They're interested in how they can absorb you into their overall, and then utilize your gifts and strengths to go ahead and help them achieve what they want to achieve, which is not probably your life vision. Mm-hmm. So the next segment, Ginger Ann, are you going to be on the next segment or not?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's wrap up this segment. Anyone had any closing thoughts on this segment? Okay, so if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you think this segment was interesting, amazing. You ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, the next segment, it builds on, you know, the first segment, and then there's momentum going into the second segment, and this is why even traveling today, you know, being en route, I'm like, man, I got to get on this call because, you know, it's like, man. And I'm guessing that I'm going to stay on all the way to the end because the last, I don't know, the last 3 minutes, even like if it goes 4 or 5 or 6 segments, each segment is a half an hour. And it doesn't seem like 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 segments. I mean, it's like a time stands still. And that last 3 minutes of that last segment is where all of a sudden magic happens. I don't know why. Not every time, all the time. But just even if it happened 1 in 10 times, that one time it happening to me changes my life. So if you're listening to the rebroadcast of this, you have any questions? I mean, think about who would benefit from this conversation. Okay, so we talk about trust. Who do you know in your life that's trusted somebody or something when they shouldn't have? Or not trusted something or somebody when they should have, and it's led to tremendous hurt for them and people around them, and then pass this along, pay it forward to other people. Post it on your Facebook or, you know, your LinkedIn or Twitter or Pinterest or whatever, you know, it is that you're using social media and say, you got to listen to this. This is really, really a most interesting. Because if we trust things or people we shouldn't, we get hurt. If we don't trust people or things that we should, we get hurt. And so we have to learn how to trust the right things, the right people in the right way. So if you're listening to the podcast of this, you have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. If you haven't had your complimentary 30-minute strategy session, you'll want to do that. I mean, it's just amazing. It's simple to do. Just go to www.dnaforsuccess.com. That's www.dnaforsuccess.com. Go to examination at the top, and then free 30-minute strategy session. Click on that. Take you 3 minutes literally to fill that out, and then somebody from Legacy Partners will give you a call. And again, it's a gift session. There's no cost. You go into that session expecting that your life will be changed forever, because it has for so many other people. And then always remember that we can accomplish so much more together than we ever could on our own. If you're able to stick around for the next segment, I think you'll find it most interesting. God bless, and have an amazing day. Bye-bye.